Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of America's Jobs Team. A new voice here on the microphone. This is Faye Davis. I am usually behind the microphone in the producer seat, but was honored to do an interview today with Megan Lucas. Megan is the CEO at Lynchburg Regional Business Alliance. She has a career that spans over 20 years in economic development, and she's got some amazing insights today on how she knows it's time to change jobs. And what's really inspiring to me was her acknowledgement today of not only her strengths, but also where her weaknesses lie and her drive to keep growing and improving in all areas. I really hope you enjoy today's interview. Megan, I am so excited to have you on the podcast today. Thank you for joining us. Let's go ahead and jump right in, get those leadership questions out there for you so that we can glean your insight. What do you think is the biggest challenge facing leaders today?
First of all, before I answer your first question, I want to say thanks so much for inviting me. I was looking forward to this, and I am an avid listener. So yippee, I get to be on the show. So thank you.
Yeah, we're so glad to have you.
I think there's so many challenges that leaders are facing today, and it really depends on, actually, most of it is going to be situational. Some days, I think the biggest challenges facing leaders is time management and trying to decipher and find our ways through all the information that's coming at us through different mediums. So I think time management is a big challenge for many leaders. And so but I think that leads to situational awareness. So I think that's going to be my answer, is that the biggest challenge facing leaders today is really having good situational awareness.
That's an excellent answer. And that time management piece, it's so hard because if you're unable to manage your time appropriately, it also messes with that energy in your day. So what awesome insight. And in your leadership journey, you have experienced leadership from all different angles. You have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, but you've seen also amazing leadership. And what do you think is one characteristic that you believe every leader should possess?
I think all leaders should have integrity. I think that's a characteristic that I look for in leaders that I engage with and that I use as mentors, and even people that I, you know, work with as a mentor-mentee relationship. I think integrity is one of the biggest integrity and character are critical, because without integrity or strong character, getting people engaged and encouraging them to act and to engage, enabling a team, you have to have good integrity and be of really sound character.
That is absolutely true. Who do you think, you know, do you have an example in your life that really embodies that? Or is that something that you see in a lot of people?
There are really so many people. You know, when I think back and I talk about my journey as a leader, my journey in chamber and economic development and in life, I can point to all sorts of lessons I've learned from different mentors. And so it really, there are groups of people, there's a handful of people that I can say, I really learned time management, this person, I really learned how to manage projects through different mentors and different leaders. So I have lots of people in my life that either I'm continuing to engage with today, or that I've had the pleasure of knowing in my journey that have taught me valuable lessons. And those are the lessons I hope that I embody every day as I engage with teammates and really just people in general.
I love that. That's such a great answer. And then let's think about it on the flip side, right? What is one behavior or a trait that you've seen derail a leader's career? And what do you do to guard against that trait?
I think that's a great question. You know, I think how I believe that integrity and character are critical to leadership. And I think what I have seen derail somebody's career is lack of integrity and maybe poor character. But I think ego is the biggest issue of all. That so many times I've seen leaders who are strong and successful sort of believe the pomp and circumstance that surrounds them and they forget to be humble, or that, you know, it's sort of the whole belief, they start to believe the press about them. And ego will derail anything. Ego will derail your team. Ego will derail your board. Ego will derail a project. Ego is the one thing that I've seen derail people who at one time were considered, you know, superstars in whatever field they were in. And so ego is my answer.
It's a wonderful answer. And it's one that we do see, or we hear people bringing that back time and again, is that ego and that inability to step out of their own limelight. So thank you for sharing that. So you are in a senior leadership season, and you probably run into a lot of people that are stepping into a leadership position for a first time. What is a piece of advice that you would give them? What is something that you would tell maybe your younger self as you were taking on a leadership role for the first time?
I think that when I engage, and I'm real fortunate to have, you know, be able to mentor some young professionals in both economic development and chamber of commerce and community development. And what I like to do, first of all, I really believe in modeling the way. So as I engage with young leaders, you know, I believe in walking the walk and talking the talk.
I think that
as a new leader, I like to explain to people, they have to understand situational awareness and then have good situational awareness. They need to be able to listen, really listen. And especially today, we see so many, you know, it's not new. Young people come into the workforce all the time, and young people get into the workforce and they'll have teammates that are older than them. They'll have bosses that are older than them, they'll have board members that are older than them. And so I like to communicate that you have to be a good listener, and don't be so eager to solve everybody's problem right out of the chute. That listening really is key. And once they're labeled as a good listener, then that helps them enable others to act. It goes a long way to fostering collaboration, strengthening others even, and really helping inspire a vision. So listening is key. You know, what is that saying? We have two eyes and two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Yeah, I love that. Yes.
So I think all of us, but young professionals especially, need to listen and then engage. You know, we there's all sorts of stories about running in, and you know, a leader comes in and just we so badly want to make that impression and have impact that it can really derail us in the beginning of our careers. And so having a little patience and being strategic when you get started really will carry you very far.
That is awesome advice. And I'm definitely taking notes over here. Thank you for sharing. What are you doing now, right? So what are you doing now to continue to grow and develop as a leader? You've been in the leadership circuit for a long time, and you are doing amazing things, and you've got this wonderful advice for up and coming leadership. And so what are you doing now to make sure that you are continuing to develop and grow?
I think that the more engaged I continue to be in my profession, the more I learn and can grow. So whether it's my role with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Institute of Organization Management Program, where I am so blessed to get to teach all sorts of courses, but I get to engage with professionals across the country all year long. And so talking about relevancy and looking at trends that are coming in and out of the industry. And the same goes with being on the board of the American Chamber of Commerce Executives. So I think, you know, keeping myself surrounded by leaders in the industry absolutely helps me to continue to think and grow, and really exposes me to other great leaders in the field. Additionally, I like to read. I read a lot of books. I surround myself and I seek out people who I think are good leaders or exude skills or characteristics that I'd like to be better at. And so, you know, I know my weaknesses, I know my strengths, and I'm continually thinking about those weaknesses and how I can turn them into more of a strength. But certainly being active in my field, especially, you know, I love going to economics. I'm a big fan of economics and Consultant Connect. And I've just, you know, reading this book that's called Uniquely You. So that's helping. But honestly, I think that I believe that you have to continue to learn, and learning doesn't ever stop. Once you get your first job, your second job, I believe in learning. I believe in continuous learning. And Some of that is a book. Some of that is experience. And I think I get more experience than I do in the books because my attention span will linger sometimes. But I think it's important to continue to grow. I have lots to learn. I have lots to give. And I think I still have a lot to contribute.
I'm very appreciative of your answer. I think it's so refreshing how real you are with us on the podcast, but also with yourself that, you know, you said that you know your strengths, but you also know your weaknesses and you are continually searching to build more skills maybe in those weaknesses. And that's amazing to hear. That is what real leadership looks like. And of course, we appreciate the plug for economics and for Ron Kitchen's book, Uniquely You. It is a great read. So how do you know when it's time to change jobs? What does that look like for you?
You know, I had a mentor, and she's a still a dear friend and mentor today. And she was a CEO of a company back in Nebraska. And she's really awesome. She's a CEO of a company that was a defense company, which, you know, there aren't a lot of female there are today, but at the time there weren't a lot of defense companies run by female CEOs. But she one time told me that 10 years is really about the length of time you should be in a job. And, you know, I never really thought about how long you should be in a job. It was always sort of like, I'm in this job today and I'm here until circumstances change, whether that be, you know, my spouse moving on. We were Air Force. So we moved around a little bit and I had a chance to have a lot of neat experiences. So I never really got to that point where I had to make the decision, have I been in this job too long or too little? But in that particular job back in Nebraska that I was in, I could see once I hit a certain point, probably around the 10-year mark, I was in that job for 11 years in Nebraska. I would say around the 7 or 8 year mark, a community will start to tell you if they've had enough of you, not in an anger sort of way, but I've been fortunate in the past couple jobs I've had, I've been brought in to make some sort of change or adapt an organization. And when a community and an organization is eager for change and eager for growth, it's really fun to be a part of that. But there'll be a time, I think, when the community will let a leader take them so far. And I really do think a community, the collective community, will start at some point, will say, we've had enough of you. Not that you've worn out your welcome, but there became a sense of, we really love having you in this community, but I think you've done all we're going to let you do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like, you know, what I'm hearing is the community will say in their own special way, of course, but you've done everything that is within your strengths, everything that you have been able to bring to the table, you have brought it. And we appreciate it, but maybe it's time to get some fresh eyes.
Right. Right. And so, and for me back in Nebraska, that just coincided, you know, the community wasn't asking me to leave at all, but my husband got a job at Liberty University. So that made the transition. So the timing was good for both of us, the community, as well as me as a leader. But, you know, and that hit right at the 11 year mark. And if I'm honest, I can say that I felt that there were leaders in the community who sensed that they were ready for a change. They were ready for a new leader to come into town, and that I had taken the organization as far as they were going to let me take it. That makes any sense. So I still think the 10-year mark is a good point to really be thinking about, you know, how does the community perceive you? Are you continuing to be an influencer? Is your influence growing or is your influence stale? And, you know, I'm in my current position. I think I'm in it now for five or six years. So I think I'm still in a good position and a good place, but every community is different. And I may get to that 10-year mark and be like, well, I believe I still have influence and I'm still making an impact and that there are goals to still be achieved. And so that I'm not hard and fast to the 10-year mark, but I do think about it when you get there. I think about it now when I hit the 5-year mark and what goals have I missed as I've gotten to the 5-year mark and what's the future look like? But I think 10's a real good time to take the temperature, honest temperature.
Yeah. No, that is excellent advice. And it's so true, especially the way you're talking about it. It's a great even just a reference point. You know, it takes keep taking your pulse every few years and really, you know, being honest with yourself with how the community is viewing your leadership.
Yeah, I'm at the Lynchburg Regional Business Alliance in Lynchburg, Virginia, and they hired me for a specific purpose. And as long as I can continue to have impact, and as long as the community leaders, as long as I'm able to influence and collaborate for the growth of the community, things will keep moving. But I think there sometimes comes a time where our community leaders may say, you've done what we needed you to do. And you just get the sense of your influence is waning. And I think it's, you know, it takes character and real skill to be able to recognize that. You and I, and I'm sure some of the folks listening, we've seen people who've sat in jobs way too long and their impact and their influence has lessened. Their ability to inspire a shared vision has waned, but they don't have the courage to say, I want this community to continue to grow and be successful. I've done all I can do for you. Instead, maybe that's the ego comes into play and self-preservation. They sit back on their haunches and wait. And that does a community and an organization a huge disservice.
But it takes a very strong personality to also recognize that. So for you to say that, it's very inspiring. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that answer. It's definitely something for everyone to think about, you know, what one of the questions Ron likes to ask, and that is it's so eye-opening to me, is one of those questions to like keep renewing. And what would the person do if they were going to place you today? What would the person do that you're not doing right now, and why are you waiting? And I think that that's another one of those questions that really cements that.
Yep. Yeah, it's a great question. And similar questions that we ask, that I ask and when I'm doing strategic planning for somebody, if a competitor put up shop next door to you today, what would they do that you're not doing for your community and your constituents? And it's a hard question to ask.
Yes.
Because the response is, you know, everybody creates this list and then you turn around and you say, well, why aren't you doing it? Or why am I not doing it? And yeah, that's a fun question to ask. Did you want me to answer that?
No. No, that's okay. No, I was just kind of going off your realness and the hardiness of a personality in order to do those things, you know, like, am I holding the community back? And then asking yourself those types of questions. So that is an excellent answer. I wanted to give you a moment to brag, actually. What are you most proud of in your career?
Well, that's a fun question. And there's a lot to be proud of. I'm proud that I've never been sent to jail. I'm just teasing. I'm always proud of that. But, you know, I'm proud of, you know, all the impact that I've been able to make, whether it's been, you know, mentoring people or helping a community land jobs. But I think the thing I'm most proud of today is that when the Lynchburg Regional Business Alliance hired me, it was actually a different organization, meaning they had a regional economic development organization that had collapsed. And they had a regional chamber that was great, and it was going through a paradigm shift. And they, the regional EDO, hired me to do two things. And that was put the regional economic development organization back together and chart a course for merger with the regional chamber. And so today, I am pleased to be running the Lynchburg Regional Business Alliance, which is the regional chamber and regional economic development organization. And it's the only one in Virginia. So in Virginia, EDOs, there are economic development organizations, there are regional economic development organizations, and then there are chambers. But there aren't any who have taken the holistic approach of a chamber through economic development. So I'm really proud that we made the change and stood the organization up in 2016. So what are we, 4 years into it?
Mm-hmm.
That organization, the new organization, the beta test for Virginia, if you will, is moving along well. I give us a B+. The team is great. The organization is working and mostly well received by the community. So I'm really right now most proud that we've been able to make that new organization, the combined organization, really work from supporting existing business and industry to startup and entrepreneurism to helping companies scale for growth to retaining and recruiting new industry, all under one roof and one house. And the biggest thing I'm proud of is the collaboration and cooperation that we have region-wide.
I love that. That's amazing.
That's not easy.
No.
That's the hardest part.
That I can't even imagine. And you sound like, again, you've exuded this all throughout the podcast, but that realness. And I think it's so inspiring, that realness of you're so proud of it, but yet you're like, I'm giving it a B+. There's room for improvement. And I love it. And I think it's going great, but there's always that room to do a little extra. So I think that's amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the biggest lesson is, I tell you what, collaborative leadership, it is difficult. And getting multiple municipalities, localities, businesses to cooperate, it is difficult. And collaboration, wow. I mean, collaborative leadership really is, it sounds great. And it sounds like it could be easy. You know, hey, we're all rowing in the same direction. We're all moving at the same pace. It is not easy to do.
I can imagine, especially when you have multiple entities that need your leadership and that also need to feel like they are all winning.
That's right.
And that's, you know, it's for lack of a better term, it's not all about the winning, but it's to have everybody feel like they are getting an equal share of that winning. So
right, everybody's at the table.
Yes, yes. Well, Megan, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for your time, for your insights, and for your realness and sharing your knowledge. We appreciate it, and we thank you so much.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and I appreciate you all thinking that I was worthy enough to be on a podcast. So I look forward to listening to it on my next walk.
Oh my gosh, it was so great talking with Megan today. I really hope you enjoyed that interview as much as I did talking with her. She really is such an inspiration and a strong leader with such awesome insight. For myself, I took away so many nuggets, and I hope you did too. Just wanted to let you know that next week we will be taking a brief hiatus. Next week is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So I hope everybody has an amazing Thanksgiving, and America's Jobs team will catch up with you the following Wednesday.